morning I want to talk to you about a legacy of faith. A legacy of faith. I want to go to two passages of Scripture. Go with me, Ephesians chapter 3 and 1 Samuel chapter 17. Ephesians chapter 3 and 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to see what the Lord's going to do this morning. And what I mean by that is I'm going to go as long as my voice will last. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to look at one verse, and that's verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 2. It says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in the line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there rose up from the camp Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his armor-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were very dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's pray. Lord, I do just lean upon you now. And I just ask to strengthen my mind and body, my voice, Lord. Lord, this word that you put in my heart, I pray that you would put your hand upon it. That there'd be a heavenly weight to it. God, it would go down deep into the heart today, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that today, Lord, you would just encourage people just to believe you. Just to believe you, God. You are who you are, and you do what you say you would do. And it's so easy to say we believe that. But God, would you challenge it in places that we need to be challenged? Encourage us in places where we need to be encouraged in our faith, God. And I just thank you, Lord. And I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's been something stirring very deep in my heart recently. And I truly believe it comes out of a deep inner working of God. And that is just to be a man who believes God. Very simple. Just to be a man who believes God. To walk with God in my generation as a man who believes God is who he says he is. And God will do what he says he will do. And with that stirring in my heart, just to be a man who believes God, there's been a renewed passion in my heart to be a man of prayer, to simply be a man who goes into the place of prayer just believing that God is who he said he is and that God will do what he said he will do. And there's been a renewed passion in my heart to be a teacher here at Summit, because there's just been something in my heart that wants to get into the classroom and tell the students, you can believe God, that the same God we see in the life of Joshua, the same God we see in the life of David, He is also your God. And He wants to do the very same things through your lives. That what God wants to do in your life, you can't even imagine what He wants to do in your life. What God wants to do through your life, you can't even imagine what He wants to do through your life. If you will take Him at His word, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, unto Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. If you will just believe that, then we would just know. Our minds can't even imagine what He wants to do in our life and through our life. And there's just something wanting to rise up and get back into the classroom and just tell the students, you can believe God. You know, there's been a renewed desire in my heart to pastor the church God's given me to pastor and to be used by God as a tool to lead a church in this generation in the power of faith. You know, it has been touching, this simple stirring of God, just to be a man who walks with God and believes God. It's been touching every area of my life. And I was just talking with my wife the other day, and I told her that the longer I walk with God, the more I realize the things that this world promises, the things that this world can give, the more I realize how bankrupt it all is. The more I realize how empty it all is. Everything the world can promise you, everything the world can give you, all of its rewards, all of its promotions, all of these things, the longer I walk with God, I just understand how empty and bankrupt it all is. It's so temporal, it's so fleeting, it doesn't last. And to be honest with you, there's been a cry in my heart. That's the only legacy. When I die, and I'm only 49, so I'm not prophesying my death. But when I die, the only legacy I want to leave in this earth is you can believe God. If my life will just speak that to the next generation, you can believe God. He's who He says He is, and He will do everything that He says He will do. Then I will feel like I have died a successful man. That's really right now at the point where I'm at. That's really the only legacy I want to leave here at this school, with this church, in this next and coming generation. You can believe God. Amen. Now, with all that being said, I want you to look with me at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 11. It says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And just looking at this verse, here's the question that I want to ask. When this mighty giant began to taunt the army of Israel and call for a man to come fight with him, every man in Saul's army shrunk back in fear. Every man in Saul's army cowered back in fear. And the question is why? And here's the answer. Because there was absolutely nothing in Saul's life that could inspire faith. There was absolutely nothing in Saul's life that could ignite faith. At this point in Saul's life, there is absolutely nothing in him that can inspire faith within the heart of his men. Nothing. And that's a tragedy, because every single man in Saul's army, God desired that they would be giant killers. There wasn't one man in Saul's army, God did not desire that they were a giant killer. From the strongest to the weakest, from the greatest to the least, from the one who was the home run king all the way to the one who was the water boy, God desired that they have giant killing faith. And the tragedy is, there was absolutely nothing in Saul's life that could inspire any kind of faith in the heart of his men. So, because he doesn't have anything that can inspire faith, what does Saul do? What does he do? Well, look with me at verse 25. Let's go to verse 25. It says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who comes up against us? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. Now here we go. And the king will enrich the man which kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make him his father's house free in Israel. So what does Saul do? Here's what he does. He offers man's rewards. He offers rewards that man's ability can grant. Now I want you to capture that. What does Saul do? He starts offering man's rewards. He starts offering rewards that man's ability can give. He offers him position. He offers him prominence. He offers him promotion. He offers him wealth. And what I want you to recognize is that everything he's offering them all resides around self. Self-honor, self-glory, self-promotion, self-gain. Saul is saying, all this will be yours. Promotion, honor, glory, riches, all these things will be yours. But here's what I want you to understand. There is nothing about the honor of God here. There's nothing about the honor of God here. Because there's nothing in this man's life that wants to honor God, wants to glorify God. He's offering all these rewards here and you don't see any of God's honor in it. There's nothing of the honor of God here. You know, I've heard many ministers say that when David said, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine? David was after personal rewards and that there's nothing wrong with personal rewards. But beloved, looking at David's heart, I see something much deeper here. Looking at this young man on the battleground who's standing before Goliath and saying, this day will the Lord give you into my hands, and the earth shall know that there's a God in Israel. When he says, what will be given to the man that kills this Philistine, beloved, he's not asking for personal rewards when you really look at it. This is what David is saying. He's saying, what's going to be given to the man that's going to point to the honor and glory of God in this battle? What is going to be bestowed upon the man that's going to speak from his life? God gives the victory and it's him who gets the honor and glory. He's not after his own personal rewards here. One more time, he's just looking for something to be added to his life that points to the honor and the glory of God. That's where his heart was at. You know, I remember being at the birthday party of a man and who I really esteem high in the Lord. And at his birthday party, they brought him gifts and they began to talk about what a great father he was and what a great husband he was and what a great pastor and leader he was. And they gave him, you know, his gifts and they showered this praise upon him. And then after they were done, he stood up and very kindly thanked them. But then he said these words, I have to give all honor and glory to God because I know the man that I used to be. And if I was still the man that I used to be, my home and my family would be lying in ruins. It would all be in ruins. And the only thing I can do is say, the gifts that you gave me and the kind words that you gave me, I have to give it all back to God. All the praise and the glory goes back to God. And beloved, that's what David is saying here. David is saying this, what one more thing can be added to my life that simply all points back to the honor and the glory of God? Amen. And that's why David was so different than Saul. But going back to Saul, there's a thought that we have to consider. Beloved, we have to know in our hearts that in Saul's heart, he knew if somebody took him up on his offer, they didn't stand a chance. Saul had to know that. We have to know in our heart that when Saul said, here's what I'm going to give, if somebody would have stood up and took the offer, they didn't have a chance. So here's the question we have to ask. If Saul knew in his heart they didn't have a chance, why did he make the offer to begin with? Beloved, here's the answer. When you're desperate, there's only one thing you can do. Take the only option you have and hope and pray for the best. And that's what he did. When you're in a very desperate situation, there's only one thing that you can do, and that's take the only option that you have and hope and pray for the best. And it may look like faith to many people. I'm praying and hoping for the best. But those who have a faith walk with God know there's no faith in that whatsoever. Those that have walked with God through the fires and the floods and through the trials, they can see right through that. Beloved, the Davids who have fought the lions and the bears and the secret battles and the secret places and have come out victorious, they can see right through that. Those that have fought those secret battles where it's only God and me who knows the battle I'm going through. And it's only God who knows what I'm facing. And you fight those secret battles in secret places and you come out victorious in the power and the faithfulness of God. I'm telling you, they can see right through that. It's absolutely no faith in that whatsoever. And this is where Saul was at when David arrived on the scene. Amen. Now it would be so easy to go to David. We're not even going to look at David in this story. Because as I was thinking about these truths that we just talked about, these few simple truths, the Lord began to challenge me. He began to talk to me. And there were some things that I had to consider. Beloved, in my own time with God, I really had to think about these truths and ask some questions. You see, I'm not on a physical battlefield leading men like Saul. But I am on a spiritual battlefield. And God has gave me some places of leadership. There's two places of leadership in this New Testament battle that I am that He's given me. And that is my home and my family. And that is my church. And I've had to ask myself a question. You know, Saul wasn't able to inspire his men with faith. Everybody stay with me. Saul wasn't able to inspire his men with faith. And the question I need to ask myself is my life inspiring faith in my spouse? Capture it. I had to ask that question. Is my life in my home inspiring faith in my spouse? Is my life inspiring faith in my children? Is my life inspiring faith in my family? And it would be so easy to say yes. It'd be so easy to say yes. But I'm telling you, God really challenged me on this thing. See, a few days ago, my wife sat down and she began to share with me a promise that God gave for our children. And when she gave me that promise, all I could look at her and say is, wow, that's going to take faith. But God immediately spoke to my heart and He said, Tim, she's a woman who hears from God. You need to inspire her faith. You need to encourage her faith. Tim, you need to grab hands and join hands with your wife. And you need to begin to pray the promises of God that I spoke over the lives of your children. And God spoke to my heart and He said, Tim, I gave this promise. Don't let this promise die in prayerlessness and unbelief. If you don't join hands with her and begin to pray with her, something I put in her heart, I'm telling you the promise will die right there in prayerlessness and unbelief. Tim, you need to grab hands with her and you need to begin to pray with her. You need to begin to declare that God, this is something you spoke over my children. And we're going to lay hold of you and we're going to believe you and we're going to pray together. Because Lord, I'm not going to let this promise die in prayerlessness and unbelief sitting in my home. Amen. It'd be so easy just to say yes. Beloved, listen. It's easy to say yes. I'm inspiring faith in my family. I'm inspiring faith in my spouse. But my question to you is, then what is the evidence? What is the indicator? What actions am I taking? What actions are you taking? If there is no evidence, if there is no action, is it because faith isn't really alive in our heart and it's just the word we've learned to throw around in our Christian vocabulary? Here's what the Lord put in my heart. Before you can be a man or woman of faith out in the world, you have to be a man and woman of faith in your home. So my question is, if you truly believe God isn't a God of the impossible, then what does that look like in your home? If we will say, yes, I believe God is a God in the impossible, then please tell me, what does it look like in your home? Because if you really believe it, it's going to have an evidence. Amen. And I'm just challenging you this morning with the same challenge the Lord gave me. If you really believe God is a God of the impossible, what does that look like in your home? Amen. As a pastor, I had to ask myself, is there anything in my life that's inspiring this church to believe God to do the impossible through your life? In battles where human courage and human bravery just cannot stand, is there anything in my life that inspires you to step out past human courage and bravery and in faith believe God to do the impossible? Beloved, I believe with all my heart God is going to put battles in your life that He wants you to win. But human courage will not be able to stand in these battles. Human bravery will not be able to stand in these battles. The only thing that's going to stand in these battles is a true faith that I believe God can do the impossible. And I have to ask myself a question. Is my life and ministry inspiring that kind of faith in God's people? You know, there's a question that's been on my heart, and I haven't asked it. It's been on my heart for a while, and now I feel some liberty to ask the question. So I want to ask you a question this morning. It's simply this. When is the last time you stepped out of the boat? When is the last time you stepped out of the boat on anything? Have we become so comfortable in our callings that it doesn't take faith anymore? We've learned how to do it. We've learned how to organize it. We've learned how to make it successful. And it doesn't take faith anymore. And my question is, when is the last time you really stepped out on the boat in something? Amen. I really feel that from the Lord. I believe there may be people here. It's been a long time since you really stepped out of the boat. Have I gotten too comfortable in my calling that it doesn't require faith anymore? When God calls me to step out of the boat into places my own courage and strength could never stand, am I still stepping out of the boat when He calls? When is the last time you really stepped out of the boat again and believed God to do the impossible? Amen. Beloved, it's so easy to become comfortable. When you finally get to know what you're doing and you finally have confidence, yeah, I can do that, and then you do it for a while, you can actually leave that place where it's not faith anymore. But it's a comfort zone. And how we hate to leave our comfort zones. I just want to ask you, when is the last time you really stepped out of the boat? You know, is my faith as a pastor still inspiring people? When God calls, trust Him and step out of the boat. You see, going back to my children. Now capture this. Going back to my children like Saul. If there's no faith in my life, then the only thing I can do is encourage my children to work hard and reap the world's rewards. That's all I can do, like Saul. There's no real faith in me. And my faith is inspiring my family and my children. And the best I can do with my children is simply encourage them, work hard. The world has a lot of rewards for you. The world can promise you position. The world can promise you prominence. The world can promise you promotions. And there's nothing wrong in these things in themselves. But if this is all we have to give our children, how bankrupt it all is. How bankrupt it all is. Beloved, I can honestly say with all my heart, I'd rather see my kids living on the mission field in a shack with a heart full of faith to believe God than to see them standing in the world's places of prominence and position and promotion with no faith in their heart to believe God. And I'm not putting a crown on poverty. You know, if God was to raise them up to be a Joseph and live in a palace and look prestigious in the eyes of men, then that's wonderful. But let it be done for the honor and the glory of God. I'm not interested in telling my children work hard because the world has so many rewards for you. I just want to tell them, just believe God and He'll do the impossible through your life. Amen. Well, Pastor Tim, what are you trying to say? Well, if you haven't guessed it so far, I guess I'm trying to say when I die, there's only one legacy I want to leave behind. And that is, you can believe God. You can believe God. That God is just looking for a people that will take Him at His word and believe Him. And beloved, listen to me. God's not looking for perfect people. In spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your personal human failure, if you just have a heart to love God and believe God, God can work all around that. He can even work through it. And He can do incredible things through your life. He can do incredible things through your life if you'll just believe Him. And you know, it doesn't take people of great strength. God's not looking for people of great strength. He's just looking for people that will love Him and believe Him and will step out in faith when God says step out in faith. You know, when I was first saved, my pastor invited a 17-year-old boy to come speak at our church. And the reason why he invited this 17-year-old boy is because God used this boy to lead his whole school to revival. His whole school broke out in revival through this young man's life. And he began to share his testimony. And his testimony was simply this: every morning I would get to school early so I could go out into the woods and pray. My mom and dad would drop me off at school, and I'd run across the street, find my old log, kneel down beside it, and I would just pray and say, God, if there's anything you can do through my life to touch my school, God, I'm available. God, they're lost. My friends are lost. My classmates are lost. My teachers are lost. God, they're lost. If there's just anything you can do in my life to touch my school, God, I'm just available to be used. It's incredible. A 17-year-old boy every morning out in the woods praying for his school. One evening he's at a PTA meeting. His Future Farmers of America. This all happened in Alabama, where there were a lot of farmers down there. Future Farmers of America, they asked him to get up and talk about a prize cow he was raising. So he gets up and he starts talking about this prize cow. And right in the middle of his speech, God speaks to his heart and says, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, Lord. I'm talking about my prize Black Angus. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. So he somehow found the bridge between his cow and the cross. He started preaching the gospel. When he was done, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, now give an altar call. Give an altar call. Are you sure this is you? It's me. Give an altar call. So he gave a simple altar call. And suddenly, teachers ran to get saved. Students ran to get saved. Parents ran to get saved. And suddenly, a great revival broke out in his school. Just because God had one young man who wasn't strong in himself, just had a desire to be used by God. I'm just here telling you this morning, it doesn't take great faith. Doesn't take perfection. If you'll just love God and trust God and believe God, He'll do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. I'm just going to give a simple altar call. Beloved, I want you to know the voice of Goliath in our generation is stronger than it's ever been. And the spirit of Jezebel in our generation is stronger than it's ever been. I'm telling you that voice of intimidation that just wants to keep people, God's people, locked in fear, shrinking back in fear, not moving forward and believing God. The voice of the giant that's defiantly shaking his fist in the face of God and defying the people of God, intimidating the people of God. I'm telling you, it's stronger than it's ever been. But God is just looking for people this morning that would say, yes, Lord, I'll step out in faith when I know it's your voice calling me to step out in faith. And the Lord is saying this morning, that's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for someone strong. I'm not looking for somebody perfect. I'm just looking for someone who will walk in your generation. It says, I believe God. I will believe God. If there's anybody here that just wants to walk with God and believe God besides me, and I know there's a lot, and I hope that didn't come out arrogant. But if there's just somebody here that says, I just want to believe God and be used by God in my generation, would you just come and join me in the altar? And we're going to pray. We're just going to pray. And if there's anything else I've said, and somebody just wants to come to the altar and weigh it out in the altar, please feel free to come. Mom and dad, you need to inspire faith in your home. And it's got to look like something. It's got to look like something. There's got to be an evidence. But God can help us. He can help us to be men and women who leave a legacy of faith in our children. He can help us. But just talk to the Lord now. Just talk to God now. God, I just want to believe you. With all my heart. God, we're living in a generation that's so dark and so bound and so lost. The voice of the giant is so great. But Lord, you are stronger. Your power is stronger. Your truth is stronger. Your character is stronger. Your faithfulness is stronger. And God, I just want to be a man who believes you. God, whatever that looks like, I just want to be a woman who believes you. Whatever that looks like, God. God, let faith arise in our heart. God, any voice within us that tries to tell us we're not worthy, any voice of the giant that tries to tell us we're not strong enough, we're not big enough, God, would you just silence that voice? Let faith arise in our heart. That faith that beat in that little heart, that little boy's heart named David. Let that faith rise in our heart, God. Father, I thank you that in our own personal battles, in our own secret battles, fighting our own lions and bears, Lord, you are giving us victories, God. And we know what true faith looks like. I thank you, God, for the amazing testimonies you're shaping in secret places in the lives of these men and women, God. I thank you, Lord. Beloved, I don't really know what else to say, so I'm just going to leave it with you. Just take a few minutes just to talk to God. Talk to him about your faith. Talk to him about being a person of faith. Someone who just walks in simple belief in God. Just talk to the Lord this morning. Father, I'm just praying today, God. Lord, you would just raise up men and women. God, who would just believe you, Lord. God, in spite of what we see in ourselves, God, in spite of weaknesses and just the human failings in our life, God, because we all have them, Lord, that we would just be a people who love you, have a heart to glorify you, and God, walk with you in simple belief. God, you are who you say you are. And God, you will do what you will say you will do. God, the voice of the giant is so loud over this generation. God, we can talk a lot about faith. But God, you need people of faith. You need people of simple belief in God. And my God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. And God, David learned that kind of faith in the secret places, in the secret battles. That's where you learn the giant killing faith walk with God. And Lord, I know in my heart there are brothers and sisters in this altar who are in a personal battle, a very secret battle. No one sees the lion and the bear, but them and God. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for them, Lord, that in this time of battle, whatever that lion and bear is, God, that they would see your faithfulness triumph. They would see your power triumph. And they would come out of those secret places with such a faith in God, Lord. Such a faith in God. Lord, I just pray for your people. Don't know what else to do. God, I said what you told me to say. And that's the prayer in my heart. Lord, I just pray that you would do that. Raise up a people that would just take you at your word and believe you, God. For every Goliath generation, there is a David church filled with the power of God. God, for every Jezebel, there is an Elijah. For every Pharaoh, there is a Moses. God, I pray that you would just shape your people for the times. God, we're living in very dark times, and they're only going to get darker. God, you are shaping a people for the times that we are living in. God, would you continue to do that work, Lord? God, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.